Good morning. Fall is actually my favorite season of all the season, but it does not like me very much, as you can hear from my voice right now. But these are just allergies. If you've been here for a while, you know every year this is what we go through. And so I apologize for my voice. Last week was Clergy Appreciation Day, and that's okay. I didn't know either. But the PSR kids are always so kind. They always make cards and whatnot, and I'm very appreciative of them. And one, I think it was a boy. I don't know who it was. And so somebody drew a picture, and I guess it was me. And so they had me in green vestments, and they had me behind the ambo, the pulpit here. And the next thing, and then the drawing, to continue with the draw, I'll put it on Instagram if you follow us on Instagram. And then they have, of course, my mouth is wide open, and my fingers in the air. And I'm thinking, wow, they really pay attention. That's a little too much. And then they have all of you drawn, and you look good, by the way. And then it just says over them, ha, 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 ha. And I was thinking, I don't know if they're laughing with me or at me in that picture. But then it was from the younger kids. I was a little bit older. The younger kids, they were writing, you know, I guess the teacher said, you know, write, thank you, Father, and then you fill in the blank, you know. And so you had the kids write, you know, thank you, Father, for blessing me. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the sacraments. Okay. Thank you, Father, for celebrating the Mass. Okay. Thank you, Father, for the donuts. So on behalf of the welcoming committee, you're welcome. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. There's an old expression that goes, true character is exhibited when somebody does something when no one is looking. True character is what someone does when no one is looking. The challenge is, someone's always looking. It reminds me of the story I once heard. There was a man, he was sitting at a red light, and there was a person in front of him. And the person in front of him was not really paying attention. They were going through the papers on their seat. And so they did not notice when the light turned green, and they did not move because, as I said, they did not notice. And so when the light turned red again and nobody moved, the man just lost it. He started screaming at the person. He started beating on his steering wheel. The next thing you know, he hears this on his window, and it's a police officer. And he's motioning to him, lower your window. The guy lowers his window, and he yells at the police officer, you can't give me a ticket. You can't give me a ticket for simply yelling in my own car. But the cop replied, license and registration. Took those and went to his car and talked on his radio. And a few minutes later, he came back and he handed the man his license and registration with no ticket. And the man, feeling triumphant, he said, see, I knew that you couldn't cite me for just yelling in my own car. But the officer replied, sir, I didn't request this information because you were shouting in your car. Rather, I did it because I was in the car directly behind you. And I saw you screaming and beating on your steering wheel. And I said to myself, this guy's out of control. He's going to hurt someone. But then I also noticed from your rearview mirror, you have a crucifix hanging. And you also have a Pray the Rosary and Prayer Changes Things bumper sticker on the rear of your car. And so I was sure this car must have been stolen. But my friends, let's not be too critical of that man. But rather, let's ask ourselves, how often do I reflect what I believe? Or better yet, how often do I not? And which behavior is more prevalent on a daily basis? Today's another one of my favorite gospel readings. This is a great reading. Somebody said to me, you always say that. You always say these are great readings. What happens when you don't have readings that you like? And I always say the same thing. I make the deacons preach on it. But these are great readings from St. Mark. Again, we hear the story of St. James and St. John, the sons of thunder. And it's easy, if we're only listening to this passage, it's easy to misunderstand it and believe that they must be very arrogant or prideful, or maybe they're even a little greedy. But you see, my friends, if one only reads that passage from St. Mark, it's easy to fall into that misconception. But my friends, when it comes to Scripture, we need to stop reading it on face value only. We need to go deeper in our studies. For example, did you know just before that chapter, just prior to them leaving for Jerusalem, Jesus said to his apostles, he revealed for the very first time, that he soon would be handed over to Jewish authorities, that he would be beaten, and then he'd be killed. And as stunned as the apostles were at hearing that news, it was only then, after hearing what was waiting for Jesus, it was only then that James and John spoke up, asking to then sit on his right and his left to drink from the same cup. In other words, my friends, they were not being prideful, nor were they being greedy. Rather, they were being what is called magnanimous. Magnanimous, it's a wonderful word, isn't it? But what does it mean? Actually, magnanimous, magnanimity, is the crown of all virtues. For it prompts us to seek greater things all in the service of the Lord. In other words, to look beyond ourselves, to look beyond our own wants and our own needs, and to look for something and to do something solely for God's glory. No, James and John, they were not greedy, and nor were they cowards. Rather, they lived what they believed, and they believed what they lived, even if it meant costing them everything. But what about us? Are we magnanimous? Do we strive to be? Do we seek to do the Lord's will or our own? Do we desire to use the gifts God has given us for His glory, for the compliments of people, and are we upset when they do not compliment us or recognize us? You know, it's said that 1 in 5 Americans claim to be Christians. 1 in 5 Americans say that they are Christians. But the question is, are they any more Christian than that man in the opening story? Better yet, how many of us are willing to live our faith, no matter what the cost or how high the challenge might be? Here's a simple test. Here's a simple test. Say a non-Catholic or a non-practicing Catholic comes and they stay with you for the weekend. And when it's time for Mass, do you A, invite them to go to Mass with you, or B, do you skip Mass because you don't want to appear rude? Or better yet, when you're having a meal with a group of non-Catholics, do you A, make the sign of cross and say grace quietly? Or B, do you simply begin to eat because you don't want to come across as a Christian fanatic? Well, my friends, thank God. Thank God James and John never had to face such daunting tests of faith. I mean, after all they faced was one being murdered and the other being sent into permanent exile. But then again, they had the courage to live what they believed and to believe what they lived. My friends, the truth is, Jesus Christ is not necessarily calling us to die for Him this very second, nor is He asking us to be exiled from our country, but rather, He's asking us to have the moral fortitude, to have the courage, to live for him, to speak up for him, no matter what the cost. After all, true character is what we do when no one is looking. But the challenge is, God is always looking. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.